Ted Koppel is a 42-year veteran of ABC News, was anchor and managing editor of Nightline from 1980 to 2005. New York University recently named Koppel one of the top 100 American journalists of the past 100 years. In his new book of investigative reporting, Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath, Koppel reveals that a major cyber attack on America's power grid is not only possible, but likely, that it would be devastating, and that the United States is shockingly unprepared. He says it isn't just a scenario. A well-designed attack on just one of the nation's three electric power grids could cripple much of our infrastructure, and in the age of cyber warfare, a laptop has become the only necessary weapon. Koppel makes clear that the federal government, while well prepared for natural disasters, has no plan for the aftermath of an attack on the power grid. In the absence of a government plan, some individuals and communities have taken matters into their own hands, which is where we begin our conversation this morning. Ted Koppel spends three chapters or so in his new book solely on the Mormon Church, and I ask him how he came to that discovery.
Somebody told me that most Mormon families have a three-month supply of food in their basement. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I wonder why, and I wonder, you know, how that comes about. But, you know, it would be interesting. We have a significant Mormon temple just about 20 minutes from where I live in Maryland. And so I called up their public relations office, and I said, I'd really like to come by and talk to someone about this. And they said, well, you better talk to the home office in Salt Lake City. And so I called out there, and they said, well, you're going to have to come out here. So I called my old friend Orrin Hatch, the senator from Utah, and I said, Orrin, they want me to come out there. I can't fly out to Utah. I mean, this is a waste. I just want to talk to some people here. So he made a couple of calls for me, and the bottom line was I flew out to Utah, and I spent 3 days in Salt Lake City meeting with members of the church leadership and meeting with Mormon families and being taken around to see the full infrastructure that they have built up. It is phenomenal. From the small storehouses that Mormon families have in their basements, to the enormous Walmart-size warehouses that exist, to the trucking service, the Deseret trucking service that is their own and that is fueled by a backlog of 250,000 gallons of diesel fuel that they have stored in just one location, to the farms and thousands of acres of farmlands and apiaries where they harvest honey and factories where they are developing, I mean, where they're putting out all kinds of different pasta. They bought, forgive me, my memory is a little vague on this right now, but I think the pasta machine that they had sent in from Italy cost about $8 million. But they are churning out pasta by the ton. They're churning out cheese. They're churning out meat. They have, I went to one dairy farm of theirs where they had, I think it was 5,000 cattle or 4,000 cattle and 5,000 heifers. And these were fed from the nearby thousands of acres of fields that they had. I mean, this is an industry-sized disaster preparation program. It is not something that is going to be duplicated by any other group around the country, but there are aspects of it from which we can learn. And one of the aspects that we can learn from is we need to, you know, have more than a 2 or 3 day supply of food in our home. Another aspect is to the degree that you are associated, whether it's a neighborhood group or some faith-related group or whatever it is, the larger the group is, the more likely it is that there'll be a doctor in that group, that there'll be a bricklayer in that group, that there'll be a plumber in that group, that there'll be an electrician in that group. In other words, people who can be helpful to each other in a time of crisis. We have, particularly in our cities, gotten out of the habit of those kinds of affiliations and relationships. I am convinced that people in the heartland, that people out in the countryside, are going to do quite well even if the power goes out. They're more or less prepared for it. People in our cities are not.
In reading this book, it will just scare the zippers off of you. And what I find striking is that in any of the conversations that have taken place amongst the presidential candidates, both Democratic and Republican, that this isn't mentioned at all.
Well, the book just came out. My hope, genuinely, and my motive in writing the book was to spark a national conversation on this. I'm not writing this book in order to embarrass anyone. I'm not writing this book in order to needlessly scare people. I think it's an essential part of provoking a national discussion that people be sufficiently alarmed by what they read that they say, you know something, I don't know whether Koppel has it all right, but if he has even 60% of it right, this is something we need to react to. This is something not react to. This is something we need to prepare for. And if I can induce people to make it a part of the political conversation, and I hope to God that it does not become a finger-pointing exercise where Republicans point at Democrats and Democrats point at Republicans. Trust me, they're all equally at fault when it comes to our being in the situation that we're in. Nothing has been done to prepare for the welfare of the civilian population. This doesn't mean that we don't have a great cyber war capability ourselves. We do. From an offensive point of view, we can inflict enormous damage on the Chinese or the Russians or the North Koreans or the Iranians. It makes no difference. Part of the problem of cyber war, though, is you don't always know from where the attack came. It took months before the FBI was prepared to state with certainty that the attack on Sony Pictures came from North Korea. And when it did, what was our response? Essentially, nothing. Mm. Because the North Koreans barely have an infrastructure. If you look at some of those satellite pictures of North and South Korea at night, South Korea lit up like a Christmas tree, North Korea essentially dark. You're not going to scare the North Koreans by saying we're going to knock out your infrastructure. They don't have an infrastructure. So they are far less vulnerable to a cyber counterattack than a country like China, for example, or a country like Russia. But what if we're in a situation where one of our power grids is taken down, tens of millions of people are without power, there is panic in the streets, and someone comes to the president and says, Mr. President, we think it may have originated in Iran. And the president says, what do you mean you think it may have? Did it or didn't it? Well, sir, we can't say with certainty. Well, I mean, what are you suggesting that I do? Are you suggesting that I bomb Iran on the off chance that they may have been responsible? It's going to be a different kind of situation than any American president has ever faced before. When those bombers were coming, or when those missiles that we anticipated in the 1960s were headed in our direction, or when we anticipated that they might be headed in our direction, we would have known exactly from where they came. With a cyber attack, you may think it's coming from Russia, and then you look again, you say, no, wait a second, that's Santiago, Chile. No, it didn't originate in Santiago. It may have originated in Boston. Well, could be. And then what are you going to do? It can take weeks, it can take months before we can determine with certainty what the origin is. So I think the one thing we can do, the one thing we must do, is prepare for the civilian security as best we can. That means making sure people have enough to eat, making sure people have enough to drink, and making sure that there is enough water flow that we can take care of waste disposal. city of 8 million people produces a lot of waste on a daily basis. If you can't get rid of that, and without flowing water, that's very hard to do, you've got a massive health crisis on your hands.
In all of your years as a journalist, have you ever come across another issue that you felt so compelled to basically warn people and to tap them on the shoulder and say, you should be paying attention to this?
No. But, you know, for most of my professional life, I've been covering the news of the day.
Right.
I think this is part of the... This is part of the advantage or disadvantage of having Koppel out there, you know, sitting on his porch with his thumb in his ear saying, what am I going to do now? You know, I had not expected that I would write a book. But once I discovered that this was out there, I picked up the phone, and I urge a lot of your listeners, you know, if they have a half hour to spare, pick up the phone, call the Red Cross. Pick up the phone, call Department of Homeland Security, call FEMA. And if you can get through the phone tree, and it'll take you a while to get through the phone tree, and actually find a human being, just say, pardon me, but I'd like to know, what are your recommendations in the event that there is a cyber attack on a power grid and we're out of power for a matter of weeks or even months? Do you have any recommendations for that? And they will refer you to their website, and on the website, you will find everything but. There are no recommendations for long term.
In looking again at that career and seeing this, in reading the book, there does seem that you have a certain sense of frustration.
Well, I think everyone's going to feel a little bit frustrated. They're going to feel one of two ways. They're going to say, Koppel, you're out of your mind. You've been sold a bill of goods here. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. And to people like that, I would say, you know something, I understand where you're coming from. Enjoy your life. and I hope you're right. In my initial dedication of the book, I dedicate it to our seven grandchildren who call me Opie. And I say, look, this is in the hope that Opie is wrong, that Opie got it wrong. Nothing would please me more than the notion that I made a terrible mistake here. But I wouldn't have written the book if I believed that I have made a terrible mistake. And I think in the final analysis, I'd rather have the criticism of those who feel that this is an overly scary book to the criticism of people who, after the fact, would say to me, wait a second, Ted, you knew this was out there, you could have warned us, and you didn't. That would be a far worse criticism.
And obviously, you are getting much support from those who have seen this coming a long time. For a long time.
Well, I mean, among those who have sent in nice blurbs for the book is Keith Alexander, the former head of the National Security Agency, Leon Panetta, a former director of Central Intelligence and defense secretary, a lot of my colleagues, from my old friend Tom Brokaw to Anderson Cooper and the others who have read the book. There's a nice cross-section of people who have actually taken the trouble to read the book, who say, look, I realize this wasn't some cut-and-paste, slap-together job that you did. Mm-hmm. I spent almost 2 years on this book. I spent the better part of 6 to 9 months just researching the book. Every interview that I did was tape-recorded with the knowledge of the people I was interviewing. So there isn't going to be any disagreement about who said what to me because they all know that it's on tape. I have the printed transcript of every one of these conversations. And I don't think there's going to be anyone out there saying he took me out of context.
Well, the book is Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath, by Ted Koppel. It is published by Crown. Ted Koppel, I thank you very much for being with us and sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed it.
Again, the name of the book is Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. The book is published by Crown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.